Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, hello, welcome once again, dear listener, to the Curator Podcast. I'm your host, Mark Fraser, and this is episode number 45. My guest on this episode is Vera Caruana from The Movie Life, I Am The Avalanche, Peaced Out, and also well known for his own solo stuff. He's about to release an album, which is excellent. I've heard it, and I thoroughly recommend it. Movie Life have been a huge influence on my musical stylings for a very long time now, and I caught up with Vinny when he played in Glasgow with The Movie Life, which is actually the first time, as this is covered in the interview as well, but it's actually the first time they've been in Glasgow for 13 years, and they were great. As both a solo artist and a singer of The Movie Life and I Am The Avalanche, he's well known for his very distinctive lyrical and songwriting style, the fingerprints of which can be found in pop-punk music probably for the past 10 to 15 years, if not more. In fact, you know what, since the turn of the century, it was absolutely amazing to actually sit down and talk to this guy. I've been a huge, huge fan for a long, long time, and Movie Life, even to this day, still resonate with me, and I'm actually finding it quite difficult just now to think of words to describe the influence that they've had on me and countless other people. They're back together, as you probably know, and they're just as good as they used to be. Man, it was a total cool thing just to sit down and chat with him for a bit. He's one of the cooler people that I've met, and I had a great time chatting with him. So, go jump right into the interview. Before we get into that, I'm going to play one of my favourite songs from his entire discography. This song's called Holy Fuck. It's on I Am The Avalanche's second album, Avalanche United. Enjoy.
Look you in the eye without knowing that I tried. something I accept, but I can't accept the stranger in you. So please, oh please, oh please make this a dream. So I'm on for the first time in 5 years. Holy fuck, thanks OG.
Vinny, how you doing?
I'm doing very well. I'm very excited to be here in Glasgow with the movie life, which hasn't really happened since I was a young man.
It must have been over 10 years since the movie life last played in Glasgow.
It's been well over 10 years. It's been, I think it's been 14 years. Yeah, that really dates. It really dates me.
Yeah, because you're like, I find it really, it's odd to me because like 40 Hour Train Back to Penn is one of my favorite records of all time, right? And it's weird to think that I am the Avalanche or a band. I've been a band for much longer than the movie life originally were. You know, like yeah. It's scary.
That's very true. And yeah, the movie life did so much in such a small amount of time. That, yeah, when the Avalanche 10-year anniversary happened, I was like, oh, that's crazy. I feel like I've had so many different lives, you know. Yeah. And I still feel young, you know. I mean, I did start when I was young. I started touring when I was 19. I'm 36 now. And I think there's even more of an urgency now just because I am getting older to do this even more until I just feel like I can't anymore, you know.
So do you... Frog in my throat. Start that again. So, do you get? Do you see this talk? Like, you are a very busy guy, and you write a lot. Like, you're very productive as well. Is that like just like a sort of drive that you just have to keep writing music and creating stuff?
Yes. Well, I can be lazy. Like, there were years where I didn't produce anything and I didn't create, and I think those years added more of an urgency as well. For like, you know, I kind of woke up and snapped out of a little bit of a. I was enjoying my life and stuff, and I was home and I got married and all this stuff in my 20s, but I was bartending. The money you make in New York is you can bartend 3 nights a week and have a very good life and hide it all from the tax man. So I was enjoying that, and I was building a life in New York, you know, slowly writing Avalanche United, which eventually came out. But, I snapped out of working and thought, this isn't for me. I have to get back to music and I have to do it full time. So a good way to do music full time without worrying how your bills are going to get paid is to do a bunch of different things. Movie life being one of those things, which has been great to us. We've had a great time. It's really fun. And we've had all of our best shows have been in the last 2 years. And... doing that coupled with solo shows. I have a solo record coming out in 3 weeks. I write music for other artists, which is a new thing. Like I'm now writing for like major label artists that Wow. can't seem to write for themselves, which is really fun because that I learn a lot from that. And I think it makes me a better songwriter. And then the Avalanche and... Yeah, so there's a bunch of different things I do, and that's what I figured out. When I did return to music full time, it was very clear that I needed to do more so that I didn't have to do other jobs and go back to a job and work nights or whatever it is. So staying busy with music is the way to make a living with music, and never resting and always staying creative and busy. So I have no problem with all that. Those are the things I want to do. So that works out great. So I'm really happy with where I'm at right now with creativity and with being able to make a living off of music is a blessing. And it's something I don't take for granted. And it's something I don't take for granted because when you do take it for granted is when it stops. And that's when you get lazy, you know? So lazy is not in my vocabulary at the moment.
I get that. Like, I totally get that. One of the reasons I started this podcast is, well, there's two reasons, but the main reason was, and I'm sure people who are listening are really sick of hearing this, but I thought my creative process was broken for a long time. And I thought, well, why don't I speak to people about their creative process and see if I can figure something out? And I haven't been able to figure anything out, but I've had a lot of fun. I've had a lot of fun doing it. But yeah, there's so much you just said there that like, I don't know, I think I'll probably start with this. Like, it must be really gratifying to have been doing the movie life again for the past couple of years and knowing and having like your best shows like now. Mm-hmm. Like, how does that feel?
It feels great. And that's also something we really, none of us should ever take for granted, because that is, I mean, like we said, last time we were here was in 2003, I believe. Unless it was 2002, I don't know. And tonight we'll be playing to a full club and of people that have been waiting to see us for a long time. I think some of the Scottish fans and haven't seen us, and some of them I know for a fact came out to our Manchester show last year because they were hollering at us the whole show, being like, come to Scotland. So that's actually why we're here. Not because we don't love it, but we specifically picked Scotland because on stage I was made to promise that we were coming to Scotland, and I stuck to that promise, and I hope everyone appreciates that. They don't have to go all the way down to Manchester tonight.
So as integrity and honesty seems to be a huge thing and a huge theme throughout all the music you do. Was that fair to say?
I think that's very fair to say, yeah.
Why is that a preoccupation, or is it something you think about a lot, or is it just like second nature?
I think growing up as a hardcore kid on Long Island, in the Long Island and New York City hardcore kind of scenes, which were two very different things, but they did blend together sometimes when Long Island bands and city bands would play together. But I think coming up as a hardcore kid, you don't easily sell your soul. You don't easily say, all right, let's make this, you know, pop record so we get rich and famous. Like, that's never, like, that was never a thought. It was always, hey, let's write good songs so that our friends will sing along and that'll be it. And then we never thought we'd find ourselves touring, let alone playing in Europe, you know, in 2016. So that side of it, the approach to music and the approach to our career, you know, obviously when it becomes a career, you do start to think about the financial and the commercial side of things, but that you end up juggling. But I don't think we ever had a problem with that. You know, we were able to make the music we wanted to make always. We never made a record that we regretted, and kept the integrity that you mentioned. And, you know, as far as honesty goes, I think, you know, my lyrical approach of pretty personal stuff, you know, it's not just a song about nothing. The honesty and sincerity in the lyrics definitely also comes from the bands I grew up on in the Long Island and scene, and, you know, in punk and hardcore in general, where that was the only approach I knew because that was what I listened to. So, you know, now that I'm writing for other artists, it's been an interesting mental experiment trying to break out of that. It's been pretty cool. Like, I was writing with this 18-year-old kid who's like signed to a major, got all this money, like basically the opposite of my career path or like my trajectory. He's never been on tour. You know, we toured for 3 years before anybody paid attention to us. So I'm writing for this kid and I'm writing lyrics for him, and I'm going, well, I'm not going to write about my life and have you sing it. So it's been an interesting thing. It's actually opened me up to, you know, different ways of songwriting, different types of songwriting. And I think being a songwriter is what I consider myself to be first and foremost these days. I'm writing so much music for so many different projects that's the craft that I'm really, really trying to master and try to be that. Because when I'd like to just always write music, because I think that's what keeps me mentally stable, is writing music and getting stuff off my chest and expressing myself in that way. And it can be very therapeutic and very cathartic. And it's an outlet that a lot of people don't have. that they can have. I think if someone picked up a pad and paper and learned a few chords on a guitar, even if they wrote music that no one ever heard, and just wrote it for themselves, like, I think they'd find that they can deal with some of the stuff in their life a little bit better and not keep it all bottled up.
I was kind of wondering, how did that avenue become open to you to write for other artists? And what was your initial reaction when someone said, can you do this for me?
It was, the way it happened was, it was just my body of work, my career. Some people at like a big company, that's what it is. It's funny. So now all of the people that grew up on Movie Life or Avalanche or stuff like that are now adults. So some of these people are growing up to be record executives, brain surgeons, everything in between. So I got approached by this big company in New York, and I was just like, what is this? And I go in there, and there's two really lovely girls who are just like, yeah, we want to do this, we want to do that, we want to work with you, we want to do this, this is how it works. And it's great, you know, like, I tour, but I only tour maybe, like, this year I'll probably tour 4 months, which is a lot for me, but now I'll be home, and I live in Brooklyn, and so I can, when I'm home, do that. And it's never like, hey, you're not at work, because it's not work, it's really not, like, it's writing music. So it's like, they approach me, and I ask them, I'm like, why am I here? And they're like, we grew up on your music, and we know you're a great songwriter, and we were wondering why the hell we're not working with you, and why we're not doing more and creating more, and we can, you know. And for me, that's a really great revenue stream for me to come home, write tunes, you know, do that, go back on tour. Basically, you know, just the whole thing of staying busy with music and making a living. Because when we were young, when we first came over here, making a living wasn't really part of it. It didn't matter. We lived with our parents. We got home. If we got paid $100 from a tour, we'd be like, oh, great, that's cool. I can eat at McDonald's, you know, with my friends and, you know, maybe go to a punk show. Punk shows are $5. So, and now that we're, you know, now that I'm in my mid 30s and I am doing music full time, it is a thing where it's like, okay, I do have to make a living. This can't just be, oh yeah, I'm always busy. It's like, I'm always busy, but I need to pay, you know, the older you get, the more responsibilities you have. And so, yeah, that's one of those things that I definitely said, oh, that'll be something that can help me to keep doing what I'm doing and doing what I actually want to do. Not that I don't want to write for other artists, but my passion is not to write for other artists, but that's something that facilitates me doing what I want to do.
That's pretty great, because now you can get like a really perfect, almost like creative work-life balance, because you've got it all as the day job as well as the night job. It's like, well, this song's for me and that song's for you.
Yes,
you know, exactly. That kind of thing.
Exactly, yeah. And it's all music. It's still music and it's still fun, even if it's not for me. So, writing for myself is more gratifying. But, you know, doing stuff, working for major labels and doing that kind of thing, it's all a learning experience and it's all music still, you know. So I still learn and I'm still neck deep in music, and that's exactly where I want to be.
Are you expecting to get into that room and have like the two people that grew up, like have people basically who grew up listening to your music now basically have the keys to the kingdom?
Yeah, I thought, wow, this is very fortunate for me. This is great. And it's fantastic. I mean, I'm not just working with some, you know, guy in a suit that's like, yeah, write me a Taylor Swift song. You know, it's more like, hey, we're all from the same thing here. And yeah, I managed to find a job at home with the music writing where it's not technically a job and I don't technically have a boss. You know what I mean? It's perfect. It's
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Perfect.
Hey, I guess I'll figure it out. The reasons why things went the way they did and why we can't accept it. We'd fall asleep, but not before we exercise the evil thing that everyone hides. And hey, don't feel bad. No one can ever take away the boardwalk trips or the subway. I think we grew up past the hang-ups and the evil stares. But fuck you twos and I don't care. We would lie there in my bed. Do you remember all those nights?
How much has that, the skills that you've sort of gained doing that, how much has that fed into survivor skill?
None. Okay. I finished survivor skill before I began with the writing for other artists. And who knows, maybe that would have, I think it was good. I think maybe the timing was perfect for me to be completely focused on my own music at that time. Because I did put a lot of time and effort into Survivor's Guilt. I was recording demos and re-recording demos and rewriting lyrics and for a whole year. And I'd really put everything into Survivor's Guilt. So, now Survivor's Guilt was my last, like, you know, I didn't have anything else in front of me. So I was able to really, really focus. And I think, you know, when I have to write a record, or when I'm going to write records for myself, I'm going to have to make time to just do that and just, you know, delegate. Okay, this month I'm not doing any projects for anyone else. This is for me, you know.
So what's it been like, Ken, being now the solo artist with an EP out and now coming out with an album? I mean, you've always been playing solo acoustic shows. It's never really stopped. But now that you've got a record coming out, a full length album on Equal Vision, no less, like, are you excited for that next stage in your career?
Absolutely. I do feel like I have like a new band, you know. I don't know if you've heard much of what I've been doing with Survivor's Guilt. It's a full band record. There's a lot of instrumentation on it, and that's the way I'll be performing. I won't be doing it I'm staying over to play five solo shows. It's really just like kind of a promo tour for me. Since I'm here, I should you know, play some shows, show some new songs, some old songs, do some press and stuff like that while I'm here with the movie life. And so the touring, once the record's out next month, will be with a full band. And that's the way I'm going to keep it all year. And when I come back to the UK, it's going to be the same. I'm going to have a band. Because I'd really like for this entire year, solo shows are great and I really enjoy playing an acoustic show and I won't stop doing that. But for this year, I will be playing the record the way that you hear it on the record, and it's going to sound just like that and it's going to be great. So that'll be new for me. I've never once done a solo show with a band backing me.
So I guess that the first time you'll be playing like electric guitar and singing with the band?
In the early I Am the Avalanche days, I actually played guitar. I played probably 100 shows guitar, and then eventually thought, well, we don't need this. This is excessive. We have two other guitar players. As a front man, it was getting in the way a little bit. I'm definitely a better front man when I'm not holding a guitar. And when I'm not like tuning and having to worry about all that. So no, but it's been a long time. It's been a long time since I've played an electric guitar on stage.
I'm really excited to hear it. I'm excited to hear the record as well, because I really like the EP, and I know this is going to be totally different, which is exciting, you know? It's like the full band Vinny experience.
It's absolutely totally different. It still feels like a Vinny kind of record. It still feels, I don't know, it's going to be unique for anyone who's been listening to me for a long time. I don't think anyone will be turned off by it, but it's definitely something that it's going to be different for the most part. The production is different. But it's still me. I'm still writing the songs that I think connect with my audience. I think it's at a new level in the best possible way. I mean, it's my opinion that these are the best songs I've ever written. But of course, that's not for me to say. That's for the listener to decide. But these are, I feel like I've definitely reached a completely new level as far as songwriting goes, and I feel like I'm definitely at a really good place that I'm really happy with.
Let's talk a little bit about Future Feeling. Where did that come from?
I just suddenly was there. I was like, oh, is it a new release song?
Yeah. Future Feeling. At the end of last year, we said, okay, we played our shows this year. We played maybe 15, 20 shows. They were awesome. We had so much fun traveling and playing, and everyone was so happy, the people that were coming to see us. So what are we doing? Are we going to keep doing this? I was like, yeah. I mean, I'd like to keep doing this. Let's just always play. I wish I could tell every band, don't break up. If you don't want to play shows, just stop playing shows, because eventually you're going to want to again. And then you won't have to answer all the questions of why did you, you know, break up, or why did you get back together and all that. So with Movie Life, the door will remain open. So the other guys were like, you know, if we're going to go out and do it again, maybe we should start working on new music. So me and Brandon wrote a new song like in one day, and we loved it. We were like, this is great. This is Movie Life, but it's contemporary and it's different and it just means a lot. The lyrics mean a lot. And it's just like, let's record it. So Rat, who's playing drums, is a producer. He produced Survivor's Guilt, Avalanche United, Wolverines, the new Crime and Stereo record that's coming out. Like, he's working on all this stuff. So he's like, come in the studio. We record it in one day. He mixed it, and we put it out. Like, here it is. And then Dan, who runs an audio, like an AV kind of media company, he's like, I'm going to make a video. So that came out yesterday. And that's what we're doing, just kind of pooling our resources and doing whatever the fuck we want to do whenever we want. So it's not like a label's telling us. It's us. Hey, here's a song. Here's a video. Will it be more? Probably. We're writing music. Me and Brandon hang out all the time. Sometimes we have guitars in our hands. Sometimes we don't. So the idea is to make more Movie Life music. The door, like I said, the door's just wide open to do whatever we want.
It must be really interesting to have all the to come back and have all the resources. If you go, well, I'm going to do a song, well, let's fucking do it. Like, let's just put it out, you know?
Yeah, all the resources and all the experience that we have now, we don't really need anyone to, like, yeah, we know what we're doing, and we have a talented bunch with the Movie Life. So we have, and now it's been writing with Brandon. He's become like this excellent songwriter, and I was never considered to be a songwriter when Movie Life were around in the back in the day. The music was written. I would write the vocals over it, and that was it. when Movie Life broke up is when I started writing my own songs. So now we come back together and I feel like that's Voltron. Like me and Brandon, he's like one of my favorite songwriters. Me and Brandon coming together and just collaborating like wholeheartedly on music, it's, I think we're going to have some really strong stuff.
It's like double songwriters now. Like now you've got that, an even greater knowledge to build on, I guess.
Yeah, totally. It feels like we have more songwriting power than ever.
Unstoppable, maybe.
I feel like it, yeah. But that's, again, not for us to decide.
I have to say, man, like, sitting talking to you about the music, man, like, to see you actually smile, the passion, see the smile on your face is, like, it's fucking brilliant, man.
It's great. I feel, you know, this is the life. Music is where it's at, and it's where I need to be, so, yeah. I'm trust me, I stepped off the bus today, sun was shining, then it rained on me, and then the sun was shining again. I thought, wow. This is great. We're in Glasgow. We get to play a show. It's awesome. And then we play London tomorrow. And then at the end of the week, I play all my own shows and I start playing new music. And then I get home and I do a 3-week tour of the United States. And I just think, wow, this is awesome. This is going to be a great year, you know, and it is already. So
let's switch gears a little bit. Let's talk about Leicester for a second. What the fuck, man?
Amazing story. What a story. I wish I had £1 on that.
Like, you're talking about it at band practice yesterday with my other band, and we were sitting like refreshing our phones, waiting for the score to come in, and it's like, man, I can't believe this is happening. Like, what's happened to the world?
It's the best sports story of all time, I think, and I obviously none of us saw it coming, or else we would have put money down.
Yeah.
See, we don't have like betting houses for soccer and stuff, and for football and whatever. So we can't just lay a bet down. We can if you try, but like, if I lived here, if I saw 5,000-1 odds, I would have I didn't even know those were the odds until they started talking about how they might win the league. So I would have definitely put, I'm a gambler. I walked into a casino the other day. I don't gamble that much anymore, but I was in a casino the other day and I put a $100 bill into a $100 slot machine, pulled it once and lost. And I thought, if I put $100 on Leicester, I would have, what, 500 grand? It's my retirement right there.
It's everyone's retirement, man. It's crazy. Yeah. They could win it today as well if the Tottenham score doesn't.
Watch that match. Yeah.
It's going
to
be good.
My dad's a Tottenham fan, so he's going to like, I want them to win, you know? But I'm kind of like, man, I just want to see, like, there's a really good chance that they'll go down next season. There's no way they can sustain it over two seasons, I don't think.
Who, Leicester?
Yeah.
I am very curious to see if they're able to keep that squad together.
James Vardy, man, where the fuck did he come from?
I know, Vardy and Mahrez, it's going to be really, and Kante, it's going to be really hard to hold on to all those guys.
I totally agree, and it's like you say, it's a fairy tale story, you know, it's what's next. And Ranieri was getting laughed at when he first became manager. Like, why is this guy back in England? What's happening here? You know?
Yeah, yeah. I love it. I'm you know, I think it's fantastic. I'm happy that Spurs aren't going to win the league. I think that's great too. I don't like hate Spurs, but I think if you gave me the choice between Leicester and Spurs, I just think it's more of a heartwarming story. Spurs, I think Spurs are going to be good for a really long time. So I think they're going to win a title one of these years.
Their
stars are all very young. Yeah. So, yeah.
This is actually the first time I've ever spoken about sports in the whole 45 episodes of this podcast.
I'm glad we're talking about that. I can only talk so much about my how much music I write.
I know you're obviously a huge Liverpool fan, so I was like, we need to talk about that. We just have to. You can't not be a huge fan of an English Premier League team and not talk about exactly the seismic shift that's going on right now in football, you know.
It's fantastic. And you know, Liverpool, it hasn't been that fun to watch them, that much fun to watch them this year, but we have really high hopes for the summer transfer window and really exciting to see who Klopp brings in. And still in the mix. I mean, Thursday's a really big game and I have an off day that day, so I'm going to post up. I'm going to be in Brighton and gonna go find an Irish pub, and whoever's got the sound coming through the speakers. Yeah. I need the sound. I don't like watching a match unless I can listen to it as well. So I still think Liverpool has a very good chance of getting into Champions League.
I would hope so. As someone that was brought up a Celtic fan, there's obviously an affinity there, and obviously they're a team that I'd like to see also do well, you know.
Yeah, that's good. I'm glad to hear that. I think getting through, getting into Champions League through Europa League is still very possible, because they have to come to Anfield, and European nights at Anfield are special, and I'm really glad. I wish I could go, but I'll be all the way down south. But
oh man,
It's interesting as well with the whole Hillsborough thing that's just happened. And I was listening to the Peaced Out record the other day, and like it was poignant anyway, because of, you know, the ruling and all that. But just like knowing I was interviewing you and listening to that record, and then that judgment coming out, I was like, it's like, oh fuck, like that's like, what do you make of that?
You know, for me, just being a fan of the club, you obviously start to absorb some of the culture, and you know the history, and obviously the Hillsborough disaster is something that I think, you know, it's on everyone's mind all the time, because it's always coming up and there's always another anniversary, and obviously it's been dragged on for, what, 27 years or something, and which is fucking awful for those families. But oh, so much admiration for their perseverance. I mean,
the scale of the stuff that was hidden is just
mind-blowing.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and it's obviously a bittersweet victory for them, because there's not ever really a victory and they can't bring them back. But so much admiration for that kind of never say die attitude of, no, we're gonna fight this to the end. That's really inspirational. That's really, really inspirational, and I've the utmost respect for them.
I think maybe a good time to wrap things up. Is there anything that you want to talk about, or anything you want to say, or anything you want to ask me before we finish?
I guess, you know, especially a lot of people in Scotland were really angry that I wasn't playing a solo show here. I'm going to come back and do a way more comprehensive tour of the UK this year. I'm just going to let the record be out for a little bit, let everyone learn the words. Survivor's Guilt's coming out on May 27th, and obviously I would be forever indebted to everyone listening if they would buy it or steal it or do whatever you need to do. Just enjoy it and
come sing along.
Yeah, come sing along. That's all I ask, and look forward to being back over here playing that record.
Vinny, it's been an absolute honour, a total honour to speak to you, man. I've fucking enjoyed it, and I'm so glad I actually finally get to see you as well.
Yeah, the pleasure's mine, and let's have a good Movie Life show.
Yeah, let's have a good year.
Let's have a great year. Everyone, let's have a great year. It's going to be great.
Thanks, Vinny. It's been awesome.
All right, thank you.
It's really hard to say anything after that. I think you can probably hear that I was quite blown away by having a chance to talk to him, and to really add anything to the sense that you probably got from that interview would be futile. But I'm going to try anyway. It was really great to chat with him. It was awesome to meet him. He's just a really lovely guy. Everybody I talk to seems to be really lovely, which I guess is fortuitous in my part. But somehow it's extra surprising when you actually meet someone that you've got that you've admired for a very long time. You know, I've seen I Am the Avalanche a few times because I'd never seen the Movie Life before. I've seen I Am the Avalanche too a few times, and he always brings it live, that voice. I mean, I don't know how he does it, but it sounds awesome, and it's very distinctly his. And he's such a learned, intelligent guy, and he's seen shit, man. He's done stuff, you know. He's been living this lifestyle for a long time, and he's still very humble, which you can't really ask for more, you know. It was a total pleasure to talk to him. I hope he enjoyed the chat as well. His new album, Survivor's Guilt, is a cracker. It's good to hear him doing the solo thing with a full band. I mean, the City by the Sea was a really good record. It was acoustic. This one, full band, just as good. And yeah, a bit eye-opening to find out about that major label thing as well. But I'm glad it's happening. You know, people work hard to make a living doing what they love, and he seems to have pretty much hit the nail on the head with that. So, yeah, fantastic. Thank you very much for listening. I hope you enjoyed the episode. We are counting down the days now until episode 50, which is not as far off as you might think. and I'm really looking forward to getting there and celebrating it somehow, or probably not even celebrating it at all, just ignoring that it ever happened. I don't know. We'll find out, I suppose. If you get a second, I would love a rating and review on iTunes. These are really important to me. I know you guys are out there. I just need you to engage with me and tell me if you like the podcast, if you don't like it, if there's anything you want to hear, anything you want me to change, any hints, tips, anything like that, drop me an email. You can find that on my website, thecuratorpodcast.com. But yeah, thank you very much for listening and for taking the time to listen to me chat nonsense with Vinnie Caruana. Man, I can't believe we just did it. It's fucking awesome. Anyway, he's just released a new song from his album. It's called We Don't Have to Die Alone, and it is predictably brilliant. So I hope you enjoy that. I'm going to play you out with that. Thank you very much for listening. Until next time, bye bye.
Kissing in the chaos of the afternoon, the earth moves without a second thought. The coastline is a tidal wave of gratitude and well-being without the tidal wave. You're here even when you're not, and I'm so
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.